The call of the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And if we want to make it more pointed, we would say, which is Messiah the Lord. Sometimes we separate in our minds the Messiah and Christ. We should never do that. They are both names for the same person with the same mission. God first revealed the news of the Messiah's birth to the shepherds. Part number one. The shepherds receive a visitor. This is the angel. Unnamed here, perhaps Gabriel. The angel passed by the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priests and the rulers and the kings and the governors, came to the shepherds to tell them the wonderful news. Why the shepherds? They were the poor, among the lowest. They lived behind bushes, tiny little tents, no amenities of life, taking care of sheep. To them, the angels came with this message. They saw glory around them. They were afraid, but the word came, "Fear not." And then our memory verse, "Go to Bethlehem. You will find the Messiah, a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Strange, strange message concerning the Messiah, whom even the shepherds must have been deluded into believing was to be a king and a conqueror. Although they were afraid, part number two, they received a message of great joy to all peoples. Unto you is born a Savior. So even though they were humble and despised, poor, without the amenities of life, to them was born a Savior, who is Christ the King. The long looked for Messiah had been born. How it must have thrilled their hearts to realize this great truth. Light had indeed shined out of darkness, and they were ready to walk in the light that they had been given. Part number two. Humble sign, contrasting glory. All around them, these angel guardians that were singing the most wonderful songs the shepherds had ever heard, all around them was this glory, announcing the Messiah. There could hardly have been more glorious messengers sent from heaven to announce the arrival of the Messiah. But what of the Messiah? Notice he was to be a babe, helpless, dependent. He was to be a Savior. He was to be a Messiah. He was wrapped not in royal garments, but in swaddling clothes. Not in some gilded crib, but in the manger. In the manger, where the straw for the animals was stored. The contrast between glory and this description can hardly be greater. Notice what Ellen White remarks. Visions of glory fill the minds of the listening shepherds. The deliverer has come to Israel. Power, exaltation, triumph are associated with his coming. but the angel must prepare them to recognize their Savior. And so he did. He tells them what we have already thought about. While they give glory to God in the highest, while on earth peace and goodwill will come to men, while this is the very Messiah predicted for centuries, for millennia, from the Garden of Eden, he's now arrived. But he's a humble babe in a cattle stall. Not even in the inn. Not even in Herod's palace. Not even in Pilate's house. Not even in the palace of the high priest. But in a manger. This must have shaken them. What were they going to do about such a thing? How were they going to live with such a Messiah? But they believed. They believed God. And having believed him, they said one to another, "Let's go. Let's go and see the things that we have been told." And so in part number 4, the shepherds respond. They agreed to go. They could have said, "Oh no, this is a delusion. This is a dream. This is a fantasy. The Messiah would never be in a manger. The Messiah would never be wrapped in swaddling clothes." But they agreed to go. They were following the light. They came to the place. How they found it, I don't know. Was there more than one inn? Were there more than one manger? Anyway, in the little town of Bethlehem, they found the inn. They went to the manger. They came and saw the babe lying in the manger. Just as the angel had said. And this was evidence. It had been predicted that this would be so. They came and they saw that it was so. And they believed. And they proclaimed what they had seen. Now we have seen a company of angels. He told us about this. He has fulfilled what he has told us. And we believe. There's an interesting note from Desire of Ages. The priests and the elders of Jerusalem were not as ignorant concerning the birth of Christ as they pretended. The report of the angel's visit to the shepherds had been brought to Jerusalem, but the rabbis had treated it as unworthy of their notice. Notice the contrast here. Shepherds believed, the shepherds found, as the angels had said. The shepherds proclaimed the message. The priests and elders heard the report. They pretended not to believe. They treated the message as unworthy of their notice. They had a much deeper understanding of the prophecies. They knew that a child would be born. They knew that he would be born out of Bethlehem. A child was now born in Bethlehem. They knew about the supposed sin of Mary, because they later accused Jesus Christ of being born of fornication. They knew that a virgin would conceive. But they refused to investigate. And in part number 5, all wondered at the things that they had heard. Mary kept them in her heart and pondered them. The shepherds returned glorifying God, praising God for all that the Lord had done. All that they had heard the angels sing, the glories that they had seen, and the babe that they had seen. There was much that they could tell. Visit of the angels, the songs of the heavenly hosts, the words of praise that they had heard, such as never man had heard, the fulfillment of prophecy, the message of salvation to the earth through the Savior, All this they proclaimed. About all this they rejoiced. Part number 5. Preparing for the Advent. Jesus had come the first time. The witnesses to that coming so far that we have seen were Joseph, Mary, Zacharias, Elizabeth, and the shepherds. These were the divinely appointed messengers of the Messiah's first coming. Jesus is going to come a second time without sin unto salvation. Not now as a babe to a manger, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not now announced by one angel, but announced by three angels, four angels, a great company, people here on earth. How are we prepared for that Advent? The gospel of the kingdom is to be preached in all the world. Some people are preaching it. It's going into all the world. Those who accept are united. There's no disharmony between Elizabeth, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, shepherds. They were one in their belief. There was one mind. They were tolerant. They proclaimed the word. This is the attitude that God's people must take as they proclaim the second coming of Christ. In Steps to Christ, we are told, no sooner does one come to Christ than there is born in his heart a desire to make known to others what a precious friend he has found in Jesus. The saving and sanctifying truth cannot be shut up in his heart. If we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and are filled with joy with his indwelling spirit, we shall not be able to hold our peace. And so the word, starting from these humble beginnings, spread around the world. Today we should meditate upon this statement. To the end of time, the presence of the Spirit is to abide with the true church. Near the close of earth's harvest, a special bestowal of spiritual grace is promised to prepare the church for the coming of the Son of Man. The Spirit filled each of these early, humble harbingers of the coming of Christ. Part number 6. In the last days there are foolish virgins that represent, Ellen White says, the Laodicean state. They are also wise virgins, represent, I believe, the Philadelphian state. We can choose to belong to either class.